Hello, and welcome to Get Sleepy. My name's Thomas, and this is the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. Before we get started, I want to mention what we have coming up tomorrow night on Get Sleepy Premium. I'll be reading a really sweet story about a farmer named Ava, who finds a baby deer alone on her farm. She adopts it for the day, keeping the fawn safe and cared for, before guiding it back into the woods to reunite with its herd. I think you'll really like this story, so if you'd like to hear it, then we'd love you to sign up to our supporters feed, Get Sleepy Premium. By joining, you get a bonus episode each week, access to our entire back catalogue, and everything is ad-free, so you can get a good night's rest every night. To find out more and sign up, go to getsleepy.com/support or just follow the link in the show notes. Tonight, TK will be narrating a bedtime story fashioned from a myth in the Odyssey by Homer. Odysseus and his crew stumble upon a lush island where the locals eat a sweet fruit each night that sends them into the most peaceful dreams, which sounds amazing to me. But before I hand over to TK, let's take a few moments to wind down. Tonight, we'll keep things really simple and just focus solely on our breathing. So begin by taking a nice, deep breath in and release the air back out. On your next in-breath, slow the pace even more. And ease the breath back out. As you slow down your breathing to a rate that feels just right for you, the rest of your body will automatically follow its lead. The intake of breath brings a lightness, and the exhale just guides you toward a heavy, sleepy state. So just maintain that slower pace for a little while longer. And when you feel ready, let the flow of breath ease back into its natural rhythm. Meanwhile, you can listen along as I turn over to TK for our story. We find Odysseus and his crew sailing across the Mediterranean Sea. Exhausted after years on the open ocean, all they want to do is return home. But right now, an endless expanse of blue is all that's in sight.
It's a hot summer afternoon on the Mediterranean Sea. Odysseus is returning home to Ithaca after the Trojan War, back to his beloved island and much-missed family. Years of travel and adventure have worn him out. He's tired and just wants to be back home. But as he journeys, day and night across the rippling sea, there's always something that slows him down. Feasts with kings and queens, encounters with the gods, sudden storms sending him off course. Today, however, the weather is clear. The hot sun dazzles high above the Mediterranean Sea. The sky is cloudless, a deep, limpid blue. Odysseus stands on the deck of his ship and breathes in, filling his lungs. The scent of sea air is intoxicating. Although he dreams about his home in Ithaca every night, there are times when the sea is spellbinding. Shielding his eyes to see the sunlight glimmer on the blue horizon, he feels at peace. For a passing moment, he thinks he could go on like this forever. Watching the waves rise and fall, he imagines them rolling across the ocean, surging, sinking, and then rising again. He closes his eyes. It's good to feel the warmth on his face, making him forget about the fatigue, even if it's just for a moment. The weariness is transformed into a pleasant sleepiness. He'd love to lie down on a mat in the shade and take a nap, just for a little while. But then he hears the voice of one of his men calling for him. Odysseus opens his eyes. His crew has gathered on the side of the ship, pointing at a patch of green in the distance. It's an island. It's not Ithaca. They're still far from home. But it's definitely an island. That means food, water, and rest. Odysseus is weary, and so are his men. His dreams of Ithaca will have to wait for now. But at least he has a chance to rest and restore his strength. Perhaps he'll encounter another king and queen, kind hosts who will offer comfortable beds for the night. He imagines himself cocooned in crisp sheets, his head sinking into the softest feather pillow, a night breeze wafting through the open window. Meanwhile, the island is getting closer. The patch of green gradually takes shape. Slowly, the tops of the trees become visible. He can see the fringed leaves of palm trees fluttering in the wind. The white strip of beach shimmers at the edge of the water. Sometimes, when approaching a distant island, Odysseus experiences a magical illusion. It's as if the island itself is moving, drifting with the ocean currents. This is always the slowest part of the journey, though. After days on the open ocean, the sight of land stirs a feeling of impatience in even the most stoic adventurer. Odysseus rests on a bench along the bow of the ship, keeping his eyes fixed on the island. He's learned to be patient over his many years of travel. The sublime weather and the illusion of the moving island makes Odysseus feel happy and hopeful. Next to him sits a young, beardless crewman. His name is Damon, and his youth is not only apparent in his looks, but also his personality. Damon is leaning over the edge of the ship. In his eagerness to reach the island, it looks as though he might jump overboard and swim. Odysseus encourages him to sit down with them and relax. "Be patient," he says. "They'll be there soon enough. Most of our time in life is spent on the journey and not at the destination," he continues. "One must learn to love both." Odysseus can hear the young man's breath pulsing quickly with excitement. He tells Damon to close his eyes. "To truly relax," Odysseus says, "the best thing is to close your eyes. Feel the salty air on your skin, the sun on your face, and the breeze in your hair. These sensations won't be the same on land." When they finally open their eyes again, Damon looks more relaxed. He smiles. Then both men stand and gaze at the paradise in front of them. Endless rows of palm trees and flowering shrubs hug the rolling hills. A crystalline beach with transparent water emerges. They've arrived. Odysseus is the first to set foot on the island. He steps down onto the sand and feels that familiar texture. Soft, yet reassuringly firm. "It feels good to be on land again after so many days at sea." The memory of his voyage already fading as he gazes at the landscape before him. He's been to countless islands, but at first glance, this is one of the most idyllic by far. The sand is a pure, sparkling white, the same color of the distant star he watches at night. There are trees and plants in every shade of green imaginable, creating a thin strip of shade on the sand. Odysseus walks slowly toward the trees and finds a spot in the shade. There are no obvious signs of inhabitants, but Odysseus is sure that someone must live on the island. He selects two men to explore further into the island. Whether it's a king, a queen, or a humble shepherd, there must be someone who calls this paradise home. Someone who will welcome them and give them a place to rest. While he waits for the men to return, Odysseus leans against the trunk of a palm tree. The beach is silent. Apart from the distant voices of his men as they laugh and chatter by the water's edge. He watches them through half-closed eyelids, grateful that they have a moment to unwind and splash in the cool water. Damon seems to have relaxed finally as he wades into the shallow waves and floats on his back. Odysseus closes his eyes. The voices of the men fade as he gradually becomes conscious of the birds above him. The sound of birdsong is always a pleasure, but the music of these birds is new to him. The notes are long, rising until they end in a sweet burst of melody that echoes through the trees. He imagines the birds chattering to each other, sharing jokes and gossip just like his men. He can hear the beating of their wings, too, as they flutter through the branches above him. He runs his hand through the powdery white sand and then rubs his fingers together, feeling the grains against one another. The movement is soothing. He repeats it again and again, slipping deeper into relaxation. The bird song echoes at the edge of his consciousness. He can feel himself fading and slipping deeper into a soft daydream. The afternoon sun crosses the sky and the heat slowly fades. Odysseus is gently awakened by one of his men patting him on the shoulder. He opens his eyes to find his crew gathered around. There's another man too, though a stranger. He's about the same age as Odysseus, 40 years old, with dark curly hair and a beard. The stranger smiles and introduces himself. His name is Amir, and he wants to welcome them to his island. Of course, he's heard of the famous Odysseus. Although they have few visitors here, word travels nonetheless. It's an honor to welcome Odysseus and his men, to give them food, drink, and a place to sleep for as long as they need. "Come with me," Amir says, and leads them into the trees. The forest is dense with palms, bushes, and flowers. It's bursting with life. From the bright plum fruits on a fig tree to the chorus of birdsong. A giant glittering dragonfly hovers in front of them and then darts away. There are beautiful butterflies, too, in colors like amber orange and sapphire blue. As they walk down a narrow dirt path, Amir talks about the island. The people here are not rich, but they live in harmony with nature. That's what true wealth means to them. They have everything they could possibly want here. Succulent fruit, fresh water, and pristine weather all year round. But best of all, is the lotus plant. They can all have a taste of the magical fruit tonight. Only then will Odysseus understand why the island enchants its visitors and why the people who live here have no desire to go anywhere else. Odysseus breathes in deeply. The rich perfume of the flowers seemed to fill his whole body. Some scents are familiar, flowers that take him back in time to the gardens of his family home in Ithaca. but these scents are mingled with new exotic smells. The flowers here are bigger and brighter, with stronger scents that take over his senses. Normally, a burst of color and perfume would stimulate him, waking him up. But instead, the flowers of the island cast their own peculiar spell, one that is uniquely soothing. With each breath, he catches a new scent. He's never experienced anything quite like it. Amir sees the effect that the flowers are having on the weary travelers and smiles. He explains that there are thousands of different plants on this island. They're always discovering new ones. What makes these flowers so remarkable is not just the beauty of their color and scent, but their effect. The islanders have discovered countless medicinal uses for the flowers, and often use them to create healing balms and potions. During their long, slow walk through the forest, Amir often stops to point out a special flower or plant. He gently pulls a thick leaf from a nearby bush and holds it up to a ray of sunlight filtering through the trees. When torn, the leaf oozes a glistening, colorless liquid. Odysseus lets a drop spill into his palm, astonished to feel an instant coolness. It's only a drop, yet it brings immediate relief. It's like jumping into a cold pool on a hot summer afternoon. He takes another, larger drop from the plant and rubs it deep into his skin, feeling the cool spread through his body, easing any aches and pains. Some of the plants they pass are merely beautiful. They see graceful pink orchids, pale bursts of meadow saffron, and golden blossoms that peek through the leaves. Others are pleasant to touch, like the magical, soothing leaf that Odysseus continues to rub between his fingers as he walks. There are soft, feathered ferns too, along with furred sage leaves. But it's the medicinal qualities of the plants that interest Odysseus. He asks Amir to point out other plants that the islanders use for their healing powers, and to explain the process step by step. Something about Amir's voice puts him at ease. He speaks slowly, using simple words. He uses his hands to communicate too, showing Odysseus exactly how they make each medicine. Amir inspects the undergrowth as they walk, looking carefully at every plant until he finds the one he's looking for. He picks it delicately, taking care not to damage the petals. It's a blue star-shaped flower that Odysseus has never seen before. The local name for this flower is unpronounceable. Amir repeats the bewildering mix of syllables and chuckles when Odysseus attempts to utter the name. The name translates as a star fallen from the heavens. According to island mythology, this flower fell to earth in a shower of petals many moons ago. As their ancestors were sleeping on the beach, they were awoken by petals raining down on them, falling from the sky. The next morning, The islanders discovered that the ground was dotted with thousands of tiny blue flowers. Everywhere they looked, they found glittering spots of sapphire blue among the grass. The islanders interpreted the flower as a blessing from the gods. Then they discovered its magical powers and passed the knowledge down through their families, from father to son, mother to daughter, on and on, from generation to generation. Today, the people of the island harvest the star flower in the moonlight. Its scent spreads farther at night, and so do its healing powers. After harvesting the flower, the islanders take it to the apothecary. Using a pestle and mortar, the apothecary grinds each flower individually over and over. When the flower has dissolved into a fine powder, she adds it to a glass of water. Then she adds a mixture of ground herbs and leaves, including laurel and sage. And lastly, a spoonful of fennel seeds. She mixes it slowly, carefully, until the liquid turns light green. She waits for it to settle. Then, it's time to slowly boil the water, mixing every now and then, round and round, till the cloudy liquid becomes clear. By sunrise, the remedy is nearly ready. The apothecary allows the liquid to cool, then adds a drop of sweetening honey. She recites an ancient prayer and passes the medicine to the patient. No matter what pain the patient is suffering from, it fades away in seconds. All it takes is one sip. On this island, illness and injury are short-lived. By the dawn of the next day, the patient is cured of all pain. Amir hands the blue star flower to Odysseus. As they continue to walk along the narrow path deeper into the trees, Odysseus explains his situation. Thankfully, they have no need for medicine, but what they all could use right now, more than anything else, is a good rest. Amir laughs. Tonight, Odysseus and his crew will enjoy the best sleep of their lives. Just resist a little longer, Amir says. They've nearly reached the village. By now, they have been walking for a long time. Daylight is beginning to fade, and the bird song is replaced by the constant buzz of cicadas. Odysseus is hungry and thirsty, but more than anything else, he's tired. His legs are moving forward automatically now. He yawns and rubs his eyes. When he reopens them, he notices a clearing just off in the distance. No, not just a clearing. This is their destination. Odysseus forces his eyes open. Through the haze of weariness, he sees a pool. A gently trickling waterfall runs down into the pool. Candles flicker on the ground, and patterned lanterns hang from the trees. He catches glimpses of people, only half visible in the dim light of the lanterns. Children playing in a hammock strung between two trees. A young couple sitting by the edge of their pool, deep in conversation. Amir introduces Odysseus to some of the villagers. They smile and greet their visitors warmly. He can see that they're simple, humble people. The islanders have been preparing for the crew's arrival. They spread out extra rugs and cushions on the soft grass by the pool and arrange a low table, which is soon laden with food. Odysseus sits cross-legged on the plush cushion at the head of the table and closes his eyes. He can hear the cicadas, the gentle murmur of the waterfall, and the excited chatter of his men as they prepare to eat. He breathes in. The scent of the food reaches his nostrils, making his mouth water. He'd rather just lay down and rest, but the food smells absolutely delicious. He'll eat a little bit, just to fill his stomach, before he finally allows himself to sink into the deep sleep he's been craving. He opens his eyes. The men seated around the table have raised their drinking glasses in the air. They make a toast, first to their island host, and then to Odysseus for guiding them to this paradise. The men take a sip from their glasses, then breathing in the warm, comforting scents of spices and garlic, they begin to eat at once. They talk rapidly between mouthfuls, eagerly reaching across the table to help themselves to other dishes. Many of the ingredients are familiar, but mixed together in new ways. There's warm flatbread with a spicy dip, goat's cheese drizzled with honey, a crisp salad with fine grains, herbs, and lemon juice, a rich stew made with chickpeas and garlic. There's an abundance of seafood, too, including some of the freshest fish he's ever tasted. Odysseus tries a bit of everything, eating slowly to savor every mouthful. He barely says a word, speaking only when his hosts ask him a question. He's happy to let his men speak, telling stories of their travels, of encounters with gods and monsters. Amir and his friends share stories of their own mythological tales and meetings with visitors from faraway lands. It's relaxing to listen to their conversation as night falls and the temperature drops. The humidity of the day disappears completely. A cool breeze passes through the clearing, and the candlelight dances and flickers. Odysseus feels his eyelids grow heavy and resists the urge to yawn. He takes one mouthful of a sweet, milky pudding, then sets down the spoon. Everything tastes so good, but all he can think about is going to sleep. Across the table, Amir catches his eye and smiles. Dinner is almost over, but there's just one more course to try. Odysseus is about to protest, to say that he can't possibly eat any more. But Amir leads them away from the table and guides them to an area on the other side of the pool. The trickling waterfall is louder here, drowning out the cicadas and the distant voices of the ongoing feast. Amir gestures to a mat on the floor and tells Odysseus to recline. This will be his bed for the night. Despite his dreams of a soft, white bed, now that he's here, the mat looks more inviting than anything Odysseus could have dreamt of. He settles down on a mat near the water's edge and watches as several of his men take the other mats and pillows. Many of them are yawning and struggling to keep their eyes open too. Then, Amir kneels beside Odysseus. He's holding a terracotta plate piled high with a small golden fruit. Some kind of peach, or could it be an apricot? Odysseus takes one from the plate and rolls it between his fingers. It's not orange or yellow, but pure gold. The leaves are a shiny dark green in the dim light of the lanterns. They look almost black. The skin of the fruit is hard, but it softens instantly beneath the pressure of Odysseus's fingers. Inside, it must be soft, ripe, and juicy. Although he's no longer hungry, his mouth begins to water. Amir continues to distribute the fruit, handing a golden orb to each man. This is the lotus plant, Amir explains softly. The island is famous for this fruit, which grows nowhere else in the world. The inhabitants of the island are therefore known as the lotus eaters. This is what they do every night. They gather by the pool to taste the lotus plant together. Just a couple of bites of this sweet, delicious fruit, and they fall deep into a golden sleep that lasts until long after sunrise. The islanders carry out this sacred ritual night after night. Odysseus turns the fruit over in his hand and looks at it carefully. He holds it to his nose and breathes in deeply. It has a sweet, perfumed scent. He's heard of plants with soporific qualities, but nothing quite like this. A fruit that can send anyone to sleep in a matter of seconds? It must be a kind of magic, or another gift from the gods, just like the blue star flower. It's as if Amir can sense Odysseus's skepticism. He comes back, the plate now empty, and sits beside Odysseus. The lotus plant brings sleep, Amir explains, but it's no ordinary sleep. It's almost instantaneous sleep. A deep, delicious, restful sleep. No thoughts, no worries, no bad dreams. Most people experience it as a dreamless oblivion, and when they awake, they feel completely refreshed. The few that dream recall blissful sensations of light and color and the sense of utter contentment without a care in the world. Just as the blue star flower is a medicine for the body, the lotus plant is a balm for the soul. Odysseus turns to his left and sees Damon on the mat beside him, biting into the fruit. After just one bite, Damon descends gently down to the ground. He's asleep before his head hits the feather pillow, already breathing deeply. Looking around the clearing, Odysseus sees the others preparing for the night. As well as his men, many of the islanders are settling down for sleep. Some families share a single fruit, each taking a bite. One by one, they fall fast asleep. It's Odysseus's turn. He's so relaxed, so incredibly sleepy, that he's sure he could sleep well even without the help of the lotus plant. But he's intrigued by Amir's words, and he wants to experience the magic of the fruit for himself. Odysseus holds the lotus to his lips, breathes in deeply, and then takes a bite. He feels his teeth sink into the soft, succulent fruit. A fresh, pure sweetness fills his mouth. Then suddenly, miraculously, it fills him with an even stronger desire to sleep. He sinks down on the mat, feeling the drowsiness spread through his body in a calm, steady wave. He feels the weight of his body floating away as he settles down to the ground. He feels heavy, and yet so light. At last, on the island of the Lotus Eaters, he can rest. There are no thoughts of the journey behind him or the journey to come. Only this moment, somewhere in the Mediterranean, on the shores of sleep. He breathes in, and when he breathes out, he plunges into that comforting place, somewhere on the borders of consciousness. That rejuvenating respite from all of the toils of the day. The place somewhere deep within our minds that we call sleep.